Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined by Gabby Urrutia. We have plenty to talk about here with the dead period lifting. High school recruiting is back in full swing as Miami looks to put the finishing touches on the 2023 class. Plenty of Cormani McClain talk to dive into. Plenty of transfer talk to dive into. New enrollees at Miami arriving this week for spring semester as Miami gets back into their academic calendar with the start of school this week. And we'll touch on a little bit of the, once again, you know, kind of what we're hearing about Miami's offensive coaching staff, et cetera. So plenty to talk about in this episode. Before we get into those topics, let's take a quick word from our sponsors. Are you a business owner or manager in need of seasonal or temporary staff? Let the folks at LT Pro Enterprises assist. The folks at LT Pro Enterprises can help you find laborers for your business in the state of Florida with an expanding footprint to other states as well. Reach out to Lionel Torres at torreslionel1@gmail.com. LT Pro Enterprises, your source for all of your staffing and labor needs.
This episode is also brought to you by Midway Sports, your one-stop shop for all of your sporting good needs, located just 2 miles south of the University of Miami. This locally owned small business has everything you would need to gear up for every sport. Their stocked up men's, women's, and kids' selections has you and your family covered for all of your outdoor needs. Use promo code SMOKE15 for 15% off your online order at midwaysports.com.
All right, we are back. Gabby, let's not bury the lead. Cormani McClain time. Time to talk about the five-star corner. I believe he's still the number two overall player in the country, according to the composite. The dead period lifted, what, Friday, which means coaches can go visit high school prospects once again. So let's start there and let's just take us through the timeline of events, I guess, that happened on Friday in regards to Miami, Cormani McClain, and his whereabouts.
Yeah, a really interesting situation. Miami, you know, again, we, like you mentioned, dead period lifts, of course. First stop is going to be to get in there with your top ranked commitment, the one that didn't sign. I mean, the top available player in the class of 2023 right now, at least top unsigned player in the class of 2023. So Miami naturally sends, you know, some defensive staffers up to Lakeland to meet with Cormani McClain at his school and to meet with his coach and all that stuff. Basically, they get to the school Friday and he's not in school, which wasn't really like, I don't know if that was like a red flag or anything like that. I mean, you know, it could have been, you know, a bunch of different things. I mean, senior year on a Friday. I mean, I get it. But Cormani McClain wasn't there. I think they kind of started, it kind of started to spell trouble when it really felt like no one could really get a hold of him and not even really his coach. So the plan was for the staff to basically go to Lakeland together, and then they are all going to disperse in their own directions to go do a couple other recruiting things, hit a couple of different schools in the area. And, you know, basically a few of them left, some stayed behind, and basically they got a call from Lakeland's head coach, well, new head coach, and was basically just like, hey, you know, just, I think you guys should kind of get out of here. It sounds like Cormani McClain's on a flight somewhere, so he's not even in Lakeland right now. So at that point, you know, kind of a scramble to figure out what's going on. I think, you know, they very quickly put two and two together that he's probably visiting Colorado. It was hard to get a firm confirmation on that from really from any direction. It felt like, you know, family wasn't really answering the phones or communicating to anyone about where they were going, just that they were on a visit. You know, I think there was a connecting flight thing, which meant that, you know, he was probably going somewhere out west. So I think it became pretty evident that he was going to Colorado, but it probably wasn't until later in the day Friday where we could maybe kind of confirm that he was actually there. And, you know, basically that's how it happened. He basically took off to Colorado without anyone really finding out. And once it kind of got out that he was at Colorado, I mean, that's when I basically just went ahead and flipped my crystal ball over to the Buffaloes, Deion Sanders. And I know, you know, that's kind of where we're at now. I think Cormani McClain has since posted photos of himself in Boulder in the snow, taking pictures with Deion Sanders, all those types of things. I know he tried to make it seem like he was still in Tampa. Kind of par for the course for this recruitment, as, you know, for those who have been following along. Really just a whole wild scenario, but, you know, I do think things are trending towards him, you know, eventually picking Colorado if that's something that he decides to do here soon.
So again, you definitely put in a crystal ball for Cormani to Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Where would you say things stand now with Miami, like from Miami's perspective?
Right.
Like, I don't know if Mario Cristobal is wired to, I don't know if give up is the right word, but right, just stop recruiting a guy that he thinks he can land, right? I don't think Mario Cristobal's wired that way. I think maybe everyone else in the building might be over it in terms of this Cormani pursuit. So how would you characterize where things stand with Miami and Cormani in terms of, from Miami's perspective, are they going to stop recruiting them? Is this just going to boil down to, okay, Mario Cristobal's, I mean, he's been recruiting him this whole time. Yeah. Is it basically just going to be a deal where it's like, all right, Mario, if you want to do this, go chase it, see what you can do, but everyone else is kind of tapped out?
Yeah, I think that's maybe more of the sense. I think what I'm kind of gathering, it seems like everyone else is kind of over it. I don't know that Miami would definitely not take him, but I do think that there have been conversations about moving on, about potentially just talking about like, hey, this is just not a direction that we're going to go anymore. I don't think there's anything definite. Like, if Cormani McClain called them here on Monday afternoon and, you know, and said, hey guys, I want to play at Miami, I think at this point, Miami would probably, you know, take him off. Of course, I mean, he's committed to them. There hasn't been like a behind the scenes push to like, you know, he's not on our commit list anymore, you know, we're moving on. Like, there has been none of that. I do think that there's obviously frustration.
I would say to that point, you know, I see a lot of chatter out there, right, in terms of we should pull a scholarship and drop him. And I get that. I just think in this transfer portal era, you know, unless you're really, really, really turned off by how the young man handles things, I don't think you shut any doors in this transfer portal era. Sorry.
No. I think that's a really fair point. And I think that's probably a reason why maybe they're not completely shutting the door. I think if this was something that was happening, you know, three cycles ago where the transfer portal wasn't as imminent. You know, I could see them just being like, all right, you know what, let's dust off our hands here and let's move on. But I do think in this era where you never know what things are going to look like 365 days from now, I think that we're seeing that now, even with some guys that we're going to talk about later on in this podcast, David. Like, I understand both sides of the coin. Like, I get, like, same. You know, you kind of keep recruiting him. And I honestly totally understand the sentiment of, you know, let's just cut bait. It's clear that, you know, it feels like he's stringing Miami along.
That's the part that's hard to reconcile. It looks like he's using Miami to do this big flip.
Yeah, it does seem like there's, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to speak on the character of a minor or anything like that. But, you know, this is a situation where if I'm Miami, you know, I could see this going both ways. I would be totally understanding if they were just like, hey, we're done here, we're moving on. And I get that, you know, you kind of still recruit him. He's an elite talent. And, you know, if he does put it all together, you know, obviously his ceiling is extremely high and he could be a potential first round NFL talent. So, you know, both sides of this are interesting, but, you know, this is just that, honestly, I mean, David, I know you've been in this recruiting game a lot longer than I have, but this is one of the wildest sort of sagas that I've seen to this point. And Miami just kind of seems to be in a state of limbo right now where it's almost like you don't even know where to fit in and you don't even know what steps to take next, because you also don't want to get played, but you also, you know, want a chance to actually recruit the kid. So it's a fascinating sort of dynamic right now between Cormani McClain and Miami, because I think it's clear that people are upset. I think that there's been a lack of trust. I think there's been trust broken between even just like the family, the lack of communication, all that type of stuff.
Yep.
I think we've said this from the jump, David. Like, other than, you know, Miami felt good about that they were going to sign him, all that type of stuff. But I think the longer this has gone on, it's been like, you know, how often does this actually work out for the team that holds on to the original commitment? And I think that's where I'm at right now, where it's just like, I just find it hard to believe at this point. And now that he's taken a public visit to Colorado, all that stuff, the Deion Sanders factor, Coach Prime, all that type of stuff. This kind of flipping back in Miami's way, I find to be pretty unlikely.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, it's one of these situations where actions speak louder than words, right? Yeah. And Cormani doesn't say much publicly. So you got to go by his actions. And within the last month, he's not kept Miami in the loop with two major developments in his recruitment. You know, not signing in December, and also now taking an official visit to Colorado. You know, again, he has every right to do those things. He has the right to not sign in December, and he has the right to visit other schools if that's what he wants to do. But if you're serious about Miami, you communicate that to them. You keep them in the loop on, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And to me, look, Cormani's a tremendous talent, physical gifts off the charts. If you're drawing up a cornerback prospect from a physical standpoint, he is what you want. But all of this recent developments does have me scratching my head in terms of mental makeup type of stuff, which I do think matters. In the development and projection of a player. And to me, the biggest concern is he's just not handling things like a pro. And I think now in this NIL era where big money is involved, I think it's even more important to recruit, identify, bring in players that will still handle their business like a pro. Getting to college, making potentially six figures in NIL is big time. That's great. But this is not a destination. This is a part of the process in reaching what should be the final destination of the NFL, maximizing your talents so that you can go get that NFL bag. You know, you combine these things with some academic concerns that are popping up with Cormani. And there's just a bunch of red flaggy type of things from a mental makeup perspective that are popping up. And again, not all guys are into academics. I get that. But to me, that's just part of the equation in terms of, do you handle your business like a pro? You don't have to get straight A's. I'm not saying that, but you got to handle your business where you're passing classes and able to stay on track that way so you can play football. By and large, NFL players are smart guys that handle things like a pro. And I also think, like, from an NIL perspective, I do think it's important to make sure, you know, you can sell to your NIL people that you get return on investment with these players. And look, there's a bunch of risk throwing big money at any player, any prospect, et cetera. But when you're throwing a ton of money at a guy that's already exhibiting red flags, I do think you're playing with fire with your NIL people in terms of, why would I keep giving money to the program if you're going to waste it on these guys that, quite frankly, look like they have bust potential from the beginning? Does that make sense? I think all of this stuff matters in the NIL era. Again, I think everyone in the building's over it, except Mario Cristobal. He's wired differently, which I appreciate, because I think a problem for Miami in recent years is that they don't fight for recruits. Too often they were giving up on guys too early. But I think you got to read the tea leaves here and understand where this is trending. And again, I think Miami's corner class would be better with Cormani than without him. But if this is how he's going to handle his business, you gotta understand his actions and what they tell you, what he's about, et cetera, et cetera. So, and also too, look, I'm not like diminishing it, but Miami's corner class is still the best class it's signed at corner in the past decade. And so look, losing Cormani would probably have Miami falling out of the top five in the recruiting rankings, be like six or seven, I think. But this is still the best class of the 24/7 sports era, which dates back to 2011, and it would still be the best cornerback class Miami has signed in the past decade. So Cormani doesn't make or break this class, is essentially what I'm saying. And, you know, I do think if Cormani doesn't want to come to Miami, you got some funds to play with from an NIL perspective to try and go get other big time players, which I think can be a transition point to the other remaining high school prospect, Gabby, that Miami appears to be chasing here down the stretch in the 2023 cycle. And that is the freak athlete, Nicholas Harbor. Let's just classify him as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
6'5", 240, 10-200, freak show, talent, specimen, track guy. He's a guy that Miami is still pursuing, correct?
Yeah, Miami's definitely still pursuing him. And look, I don't know. I think that that's pretty telling at this stage of the process. I think it was obvious at the Under Armour All-American Week when I talked to him at check-in, even when I talked to him after the game to kind of get one last update with him, that he doesn't have a lot of time to maybe squeeze in another official visit. I think he had a track meet this past weekend. He has one this coming weekend. And then he talked about using an official visit the last weekend of January to go see Oregon. And obviously that's like the track mecca, you know, where it's just like, you know, just the absolute best resources and facilities that you will find for that. But, you know, I do think it's notable. He did tell Andrew Ivins at the media check-in that he does think that football makes more sense for him long-term. So while the track stuff can be attractive, you know, and all that stuff to him, I do think that he knows that, you know, when he's projecting his career, his life, I think he knows that football is maybe where he could potentially have more success or a longer career, or maybe
more lucrative.
More lucrative. Exactly. Just, he can just make more money playing football than running track and all that stuff. So, I do think it's interesting. We talked about, like, you know, he is a pass catcher, and whether that could be tight end. I think it could potentially be outside receiver here at Miami if that's something that he wanted to kind of do, because obviously Miami needs help at outside receiver, and I think that they'd be willing to kind of buy into that development. I think he showed at that week at Under Armour camp that he can catch the ball, and maybe it doesn't look pretty every single time, and you know, you're probably going to have your ups and your down moments, but those highs are high, and I think that, you know, he showed that he can beat defenders, get behind some elite defensive backs, and you know, make some things happen once the ball's in his hands. And look, right now it doesn't seem like Miami has a ton of juice in this recruitment, but I think there's a reason why, you know, the messaging right now is that they're still recruiting Nicholas Harbor. I think it would be easy for them to just kind of be like, yeah, you know what, it just doesn't seem super good for us right now. But I feel like this is the way that this staff kind of operates, David. You talk about Mario Cristobal and kind of fighting right for recruits, and I think this is like a prime example of him fighting for a recruit again. Kind of, it feels like, you know, chips kind of stacked against him, but he's still, you know, they're going after him. You know, they're recruiting him super hard. They're still having those conversations. And again, just kind of talking to him up in Orlando, it does sound like there was interest from his perspective, you know, about Miami and about the potential situation for him down here. I think he mentioned that, you know, he already had like an internship lined up at a hospital. He's a high GPA kid. I think both of his parents have like doctorate degrees or something like that. He has goals of being like some sort of surgeon, whether it's a neurosurgeon, maybe cardiologist or something like that. Like he has medical aspirations as well. And, you know, I think all that stuff is kind of lined up for him down here, which again, is pretty telling as to why, you know, they've made those behind the scenes plans for him. So Miami's still recruiting Nicholas Harbor. I think it would be, you know, he would play out somewhere on the offensive side of the ball. He doesn't really want to put on a ton of weight because he does want to run track collegiately. But Miami is definitely clawing their way in there. Not sure, you know, if that means, you know, what that means in terms of like the actual odds of him, of Miami, yeah, you know, landing him, whatever it may be. But I know that they are actively, yeah, definitely in the mix, definitely still, you know, shooting their shot, if you will, and definitely working hard in that recruitment, which again, I think at this point is pretty telling that they're still, you know, trying to make this thing happen.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we will on the other side get into transfer portal names. Attention business owners, I'm going to say three words you've probably heard of by now: employee retention credit. If you're a business owner with W-2 employees and you haven't explored this program, you need to schedule a call with our friends at Foreman Law Offices ASAP.
The employee retention credit can put thousands of dollars back into the hands of business owners. However, the rules are complex and have changed many times since the inception of the program. You need to have a qualified law firm with experience in the ERC. Evaluate this for your business. You won't owe them a dime until you get paid.
All you have to do is go to erclawyers.com and fill out the short questionnaire to schedule a call with their team. 2 minutes may be worth thousands of dollars for your business. Get it done today. erclawyers.com. Tell them TTS sent you for Through the Smoke. The Star Horton Group is a real estate company that covers all of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Born and raised in Miami, Star is committed to growing his clients' wealth and securing their futures. One of the top realtors in the state, Star knows the ins and outs of the market to make sure his clients get the best possible value when they sell or buy.
If you're looking to buy or sell, or know someone who is, call or text Star directly at 561-573-4661. And here's the beauty. When you refer someone to Star, he will donate $250 to the Miami Hurricanes Athletic Fund in your name upon the closing of the deal.
So to have a great real estate experience and help our Canes, call or text Star today at 561-573-4661. All right, we are back. Gabby, let's start with visitors, transfer portal visitors over the weekend. And let's start with a commitment. Miami lands veteran tight end Cam McCormick from Oregon. You know, look, I know it's, I don't know, appears to be getting some backlash from the fan base, this take. I'll admit I don't understand that backlash, because I do think Cam McCormick brings a run-blocking element to the tight end room and to the line of scrimmage that Miami's been lacking for the last, I don't know, 4 years, you know, playing tight end. Yes, pass catching is important at Miami to feature those type of athletes at tight end, but they can also be weapons in the run game too with their blocking. If you have tight ends that can execute in that phase, and Cam McCormick is that type of guy. To me, the best offenses are diverse. They can beat you in different ways. And Cam McCormick is a guy that is going to bring run blocking in the red zone and in short yardage situations. We all remember last year how Miami was Miami was really bad. scoring red zone touchdowns against Texas A&M and North Carolina, right? And those games were one score games. I think a guy like Cam McCormick helps run block, set the edge on those edge runs. Everything matters in college football, in major college football, Power Five football. The games are won by the slightest of margins a lot of times. Especially when you're trying to level up your talent. And so to me, this represents a marginal gain in the run blocking phase. What's your take on Miami landing Cam McCormick?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm totally fine with it. And I mean, I can, of course, see the optics of it and people being like, what the heck? I mean, this kid's going to be an eighth year senior and he has the opportunity to come back for a ninth year. But I think you also
it's a good thing, honestly, grown man strength, grown man mentality. Like,
he's 260. I mean, I think he's definitely a big body, you know, in the room. And let's kind of even just take a step back here and like evaluate what the tight end room even looks like, right? Like, Will Mallory is gone. He's exhausted his eligibility. He's off to the NFL or whatever it is that he ends up doing with this next phase of his life. I think the oldest returners, like Dominic Mamorelli, he's more of maybe a run blocker or just like a blocking type, but he's not a high level contributor. And then you got Elijah Arroyo, who's maybe their best overall tight end, but he's coming off, you know, major knee surgery. Who knows what his status is, you know,
in the spring, he probably will be out.
Exactly. Then you got Jahlil Skinner, who's still kind of a youngster, who's still kind of developing his body, who's still kind of coming into his own, who had his share of, you know, struggles as a true freshman. You know, he had those times that he had drops and all those types of things. And he has that big playability and that receiving ability, but he's not, a blocking type. You have Khalil Brantley, who honestly, I think Miami fans should be looking at as an example of like what it could be like to have a good blocking tight end. Because Khalil Brantley, when he kind of got on the field, he did an okay job when he kind of got in there and kind of like his H-back role and kind of delivered some blocks and all that stuff. Like, Cam McCormick is like I feel like he's a good fit for where Miami is at right now in terms of where their offense is, where they struggle, and then what the room is even built out to look like right now. Like, I don't know why anyone would push back on having of adding, you know, a veteran body who has a proven track record of blocking ability, you know, just especially considering the, you mentioned, David, the red zone struggles and all those types of things. And he's also a guy that can just kind of be almost like a decoy, where it's just like he's so known as a blocker that in those red zone situations, he's a guy that can get kind of lost, you know, by the defense, or kind of get forgotten about by the defense. And, you know, he can end up scoring. I think he had 3 touchdowns, 66 yards, David. I would bet, I haven't looked it up, but I would bet a lot, like a lot of those 3 scores, maybe all of them came in those short yardage situations where he just kind of got open.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a role player. So,
right. He's a role player. He's not going to be, you know, tight end one or anything like that, but he's a good piece to kind of throw into the mix there. I mean, I think it's I think people are blowing it way out of proportion just because of the age.
Diversity of skill is a good thing. You want a multiple offense and a multiple defense to handle different styles you see on the schedule during the course of a season. The other visitor that was a transfer over the weekend, Gary Bryant Jr., USC wide receiver transfer. What's the vibes coming out of his visit, Gabby?
Yeah, no, I honestly, I think the visit went really, really well. And, you know, I know Gary Bryant and Mario Cristobal have a relationship that goes back to their high school days. He took an official visit to Oregon, and it sounds like, you know, they did a good job kind of presenting him the opportunity, you know, to kind of walk in and be a high level contributor, potential out, you know, wide receiver one on the outside, also make plays from the slot, and also be a, you know, a potential, you know, like go-to guy in the return game in terms of kick return, punt return. So I think they're selling him on being an extremely active participant in this offense that really desperately needs kind of playmakers, you know, really across the field, but especially on the outside. So I do think that Gary Bryant sees that type of opportunity, sees that Tyler Van Dyke is a, you know, is a quarterback that has performed at a high level in the past when he did have that outside weapon. So, you know, I do think that Miami did as good of a job as they could have done there. I know Mario Cristobal's kind of running point on that. At the moment, you know, let's see what other schools he ends up seeing. I think he said that Arizona might get a visit. You know, he's mentioned Arizona State, UCLA, Texas A&M as a couple others. Let's see. I know Miami would ideally like to kind of get him to shut it down, but he can't enroll for the spring, so he won't be a part of spring ball regardless, because he has just a couple more classes he needs to take to finish up at USC. So he's going to graduate from USC and then enroll at his next stop over the summer. So I think that there still could potentially be a ways to go here, but I do think Miami did a good job kind of getting him in early and kind of selling him the vision of the program. And I think the vibe out west is that, you know, the Hurricanes could potentially, you know, be the team to beat there.
Money can be the root of all evil when you don't understand it. A couple of bad decisions shouldn't continue to affect us years later, and the path to recovery shouldn't be as painful as the regret. Everyone at some point needs help with their financial situation, and Pride Financial can lend that helping hand. Pride Financial offers a patient and judgment-free environment and will provide you with the knowledge and power you need to realize your dreams. Once they identify your goals, they will guide you to the finish line, holding your hand every step of the way.
Repairing and building credit is only the first step. They'll educate you on a variety of banking and financial institutions, what resources they offer, and how to maximize funding for your financial needs. Gain access to a vast network of realtors and licensed dealers to receive outstanding deals on prime real estate and the newest vehicles to fit your lifestyle. They even offer education and services to assist those more involved on the business side of things.
Text 305-393-7698. Or email globalchoice_consulting@yahoo.com to book a free consultation with Pride Financial. And let's take pride in our finances. Over the weekend, there was some transfer portal activity that I think is noteworthy for Miami as they look to build up the depth and, you know, potentially have land some guys in the portal that could be starters. Let's circle back around a corner with this Cormani McClain stuff going on. It was interesting on Friday that former five-star recruit from the 2022 cycle, Jaheim Singletary, who played 1 year at Georgia, entered the transfer portal. What's your understanding on that situation, and how involved is Miami with trying to maybe pivot to Jaheim Singletary?
Yeah, I definitely think Miami's trying is actively working in that recruitment. David, I think I mentioned on Friday that, you know, after they left Lakeland, I think a couple that maybe pivoted went up to Jacksonville once Jakeem Singletary was officially in the portal, met with the family that night. I think that, you know, Miami has continued to have conversations with the Singletary family, you know, over the course of the weekend. I believe that there's a couple calls scheduled even here for Monday to kind of, continue to connect with the Singletary family. You know, just kind of like my latest intel on that recruitment is that it seems like when he hit the portal, you know, as many guys do, you know, we don't really have to sugarcoat, you know, hide it or whatever. It seems like he did have kind of a destination in mind. I'm not sure exactly what that destination is, but I don't know that it was Miami. But I think the feeling around the, you know, around that recruitment right now is that Miami's kind of made him think about the Hurricanes more, and that the fact that he hasn't already announced what his next stop is going to be is not maybe primarily because of, but in part because Miami has maybe given him a little bit more to think about, or given him something else to think about outside of the school that maybe, you know, he kind of had in his mind and all those types of things. So right now I think the feeling is that school, I'm not even sure what the school is. I don't even who I spoke to about the situation didn't even really know what the school was, because it seems like that's something that they're keeping kind of close to the vest. I think the feeling is that, you know, Miami is, you know, continuing to kind of push here and seeing if they can kind of, you know, maybe even level the playing field, or even maybe, you know, tip the scales into their favor. But right now, I think the feeling is that, you know, that school that he was kind of leaning towards potentially has the inside track to eventually land him. So right now, Miami's maybe playing a little bit of catch up, but it seems like, you know, they're doing what they need to do to kind of, you know, get in, you know, really, really, you know, become a factor in this recruitment and, you know, potentially put themselves, you know, in position to land Jakeem Singletary. But right now, I think that's still an uphill climb for them.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning Jamila Dye recruited him to Georgia, who's Miami's current DB coach. So there is a relationship there. Singletary would be a nice, solid addition. I think he's got length, 6'1", and ball skills. I think speed is, you know, maybe the potential question mark in terms of projecting how elite Jakeem is. But he would no doubt be a guy that competes for a starting job at Miami if he were to go that direction. How about at wide receiver? An interesting name popped in with Alabama's Tyler Harrell, who started his career at the college level at Louisville and played his high school football at Christopher Columbus High School. What's the sense you get with Miami's interest in Tyler Harrell?
Yeah, I do think Tyler Harrell is someone that they're kind of looking at. I think he's a name that kind of makes sense. I don't know how much like the Gary Bryant factor influences here. I feel like they're pretty similar. You know, they're both like basically like 6 foot, 5'11 guys, you know, in that 180, 195 pound range. Maybe Tyler Harrell's a little bit thicker than Gary Bryant is, but Tyler Harrell has that elite, that top gear that not many people have. What was he coming out of high school, David? He was like a 10-2 kid. I know he was kind of like a track kid, 10-5 kid coming out of high school. So he can definitely move. And I do think that, again, Miami's exploring all options in terms of, you know, leveling up that wide receiver room. And Tyler Harrell, who I think struggled through some injuries once he got to Alabama by way of Louisville, I think that's something that maybe held him back just a little bit. But I do think if he's healthy, that he's someone that would make sense to maybe bring home. You mentioned the Columbus, his high school days and all that. That's where Mario Cristobal, Alonzo Highsmith, Alex Mirabal, all those guys went to Columbus. I'm sure there's plenty of ties to, you know, the people around Harrell, or they have easy, you know, access to those guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler Harrell is a name that, you know, sort of continued to kind of emerge for Miami in the transfer portal. He's a grad transfer. So we mentioned he went from Louisville to Alabama. He would be able to transfer again because he's graduated and all that stuff. So he does have another opportunity and he wouldn't have to sit out.
Yeah, he reportedly ran a 4.24 at Ole Miss, Louisville, during his time there. And in 2021, he finished with 523 yards on 18 receptions, which is 29 yards per catch. So explosive ability. He is an interesting player because I don't know. He really had that one productive year at Louisville. I don't know if he was necessarily a starter that year for Louisville. And he's not like a contested catch guy, but you can't teach that speed. He is a deep shot guy, whether that's a go route or a deep post, and you put air under it and allow him to run under that ball and catch it and go. And then also too, could be a guy that's used on crossers. But in terms of like, is he going to go out and win a bunch of 50-50 balls? To this point, he has not been that type of guy. But still, Miami in 2022, as we know, one of the least explosive Power 5 offenses in terms of passing the ball in the country. Having a guy like Tyler Harrell, just that threat, would definitely be a nice addition to the offense in 2023. How about any other names at the transfer portal that hit recently that you think are worth knowing? Anyone on the defensive side?
Oh, definitely, David. I think this is a name I think I introduced to our Inside These subscribers on here. I think it was sometime here Monday morning before we started the podcast. That's a former Ole Miss safety, Tysheem Johnson, who's basically a two-year starter for the Rebels, started as a true freshman in 2021 and started a bunch of games for them here in 2022 also. You know, he's someone that, I mean, graded out really well in 652 snaps this year, had a 72.0 coverage grade, broke up a couple passes. And, you know, again, he's someone just even people around the Ole Miss football program speak really highly of, just kind of checking in with some sources there in Oxford. And, you know, I can confirm that Miami has reached out based on, you know, those conversations with people close, you know, to the recruitment and people familiar with Johnson. And, you know, he's a 5'10", 200-pound Philadelphia native. I think I've mentioned a couple times, I don't know if it was formally or just on the board, that Miami would take a safety if the right name emerged. And I think Johnson is definitely, I think he's definitely a name that maybe Miami fans want to keep track of. It might be in the early stages of everything. I think he entered the transfer portal on January 13th, or announced that he was entering the transfer portal on January 13th. But I mean, this was a 247 Sports freshman All-American in 2021. And, you know, he's a kid that can definitely maybe play some nickel or even some high safety also. So I think he's someone that's a little versatile also, and seems like he has some fans around the program.
Yeah, he finished this past year with 78 tackles, 4 tackles for loss. So I think ideally in the modern game, you want a rotation of 3 good safeties. And I think Miami needs to find that third safety wherever they can find it or develop it. And Tysheem Johnson would definitely be a nice fit with Cam Kitchens, with James Williams, because like you alluded to, he's a versatile guy. I can play some big nickel, can play in the box, can line up at free safety as well. Kind of similar to Cam Kitchens in that regard with versatility. I guess James Williams too, because they all kind of move around. But he would definitely help improve the secondary depth on the back end. Let's move on to spring enrollees. Sunday was move-in day for the new transfer additions and early enrollee freshmen that will be participating in the spring. Gabby, you were there, got some good shots. Big day for these guys, big day for their families, as you know, especially for the freshmen, as mama's got to let go of their babies at the college level. Just what stood out to you? Just, it could be body types, it could be just guys being excited. What did you feel like you learned while you were out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think just even watching maybe some guys move in the past, I do feel like, you know, the structure of these body types are definitely different. I think Miami's definitely adding those, you know, those, you know, prototypical, you know, sort of maybe NFL body types or potential NFL body types, you know, to the line of scrimmage specifically. I mean, just kind of getting eyes on Samson Akinlola. I mean, I think it's obvious that that's the way you want, you know, a potential tackle to look. Colin Tekiampong, I mean, he's a big, long kind of like, you know, who knows what he ends up developing into. I mean, he's all of, you know, 6'6", 6'7", You know, he's not like rail thin or anything like that. Like he already has some mass on him. So it seems like he's someone that, you know, kind of like a big ball of clay that they can get their hands on and, you know, turn him into some big time pass rusher, or maybe even beef him up a little bit and kind of kick him inside, or maybe a guy that can be a little versatile and do both. I mean, I think he's someone that could potentially do a little bit of that. Jaden Wayne, I mean, he's another one on the line of scrimmage as a pass rusher that he kind of just looks like a grown man. You know, like, you know, you're walking down the street and you walk past Jaden Wayne, you're not saying that's a 17, 18 year old kid, you know, a high school senior technically. I mean, he's definitely, you know, checks those boxes in terms of looking the part that, you know, of what a pass rusher, you know, should look like. And especially when you're projecting a couple years down the line. Malik Bryant, even as a linebacker, you know, obviously he's kind of new to the position and I think still learning, but you know, prototypically, I mean, you know, he kind of checks those boxes. I mean, at least 6'2", looks like he's at least, you know, 230 pounds, you know, in that range that he can still kind of, and, you know, an athletic kid, David, we were talking about, he's been, you know, kind of the dude for, you know, the entirety of his high school career, where he's been, you know, kind of like one of the best people on the field and all those types of stuff. So I feel like the quality of player, I think it's obvious. I mean, this is a top five class for now. But even if it's a top six, top seven class, I mean, you can see that Miami's adding the frames, the personnel that, you know, it's going to start looking different, where if you stack another class on top of this one and another one on top of that one, where, you know, Miami's not going to be rolling out there with undersized, you know, players at certain spots that are just too key to be, you know, rolling the dice that way with. So, you know, I was really encouraged about the body types. I think even the competitiveness, I mean, Robbie Washington, the Miami Palmetto receiver, he walked right past me and he's like, you know, Keel's like, catch me in the facility tonight. Like I'm getting to work. Like I'm ready to go. So like, you know, these guys are not coming in here just kind of like, you know, I don't know, just kind of hanging out. Like, oh, I'm in college now. It seems like all these guys are, it's kind of go time. It's time to work. And it seems like these dudes are kind of all about that, which is obviously an encouraging sign.
How about the transfer guys? Anything stand out about the way they looked or handled themselves?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I got a chance to chat up Matt Lee, the UCF center transfer. And again, just like from a mentality standpoint, you can tell he's kind of like an alpha, right? Nice kid, like super nice kid. But, you know, asked him if he was ready to go. And he was just like, yeah, like I'm ready to go. Like I'm pumped. Like, you know, you could see he was someone that's just like, yeah, like it's time again. Like it's time to work. Like we're here to work. Like, you know, I'm ready to get in the room with these guys, all those different types of things. And, you know, it's that mentality that I think is a little bit different. Even Javian Cohen, who I guess I've had two exposures to now, you know, you can just see that, you know, mentally he's just kind of, you know, these are business decisions for these guys. These guys have aspirations of playing in the NFL and they know that the stop for them, they got to make it count and it has the potential to help them take that next step. So, you know, Matt Lee, Javian Cohen, definitely two of the transfers that I was able to see that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense, you know, in terms of just like what it needs to look like, especially on the offensive line, along the line of scrimmage, like that we were just kind of mentioning too. And then, I mean, got eyes on Devontae Brown again, who I saw for the first time at his younger brother, Damari's signing ceremony. And I mean, Devontae just again, long, you know, long dude, big, tall, long kid that again, you know, from a cornerback standpoint, I think kind of, you know, brings a lot of the stuff that you kind of like. I think, you know, kind of maybe similar to DJ Ivy, I would say maybe a little bit taller, maybe even a little bit longer. But Devontae Brown is someone that I'm definitely encouraged by as well.
All right. And, you know, I feel like we talk about it every episode here recently, but it's still worth hammering home, I guess, here at the end. Miami's coaching staff. Everyone wants to know what's going to be the fate of Josh Gattis. Again, I'm still under the impression where I'd be surprised if Josh Gattis returned as the offensive coordinator for Miami in 2023. And look, this is me editorializing, so I'll say that on the front end. But I would keep an eye on this Penn State wide receiver job opening that happened on Sunday. And I'd also keep an eye on Frank Ponce with the Appalachian State offensive coordinator job. Not predicting anything, but I would say just keep an eye on those two situations. What do you feel like shedding a light on with Josh Gattis in that situation? What did you notice that might be notable as the guys moved in?
Yeah, I mean, again, I spent the whole morning and a few hours in the afternoon at Miami as these guys checked in. I think it was, kind of the elephant in the room that Josh Gattis wasn't there. Again, both of the wide receiver signees moved in, were checking into their dorms, and Josh Gattis wasn't around. Greg Biggins, our West Coast analyst, spoke with Gary Bryant Jr., the USC transfer. He told Greg Biggins that the offensive coordinator wasn't really around. It didn't bother him because he said that he was able to learn everything he needed to learn about the offense and stuff, via Mario Cristobal, which is, I think that's something interesting to me. But, the offensive coordinator not being around while a top transfer receiver is on a visit when he's the wide receiver coach, and, not being there to move in the two freshman receivers that you signed, I think that's notable. And maybe there are reasons outside of that, but this is also – coaching carousel season. And I don't think that, maybe this is all a coincidence. Maybe that you're hinting at, David. I know you've been more on top of the coaching search stuff than I am. So from my end, it's purely maybe a little bit more speculation and all that stuff. But David, I know that you've been kind of expecting a move to be made at that offensive coordinator position, or you've been saying that that's kind of like what you've heard and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think one thing to keep in mind too, is in general, Mario Cristobal likes the guys that leave his staff to have their landing spots. So I think that's kind of what we're all waiting for. Also, too, Mario Cristobal doesn't care about timelines. He is of the belief that there is a ton of really good coaches out there, and he's going to do his due diligence to, make the right hire that he feels like can be a good fit. Didn't work out at offensive coordinator in 2022. But the process is not going to change. He's going to take his time, and at the end of the day, he's going to feel good about who he does hire. So he doesn't get wrapped up into timelines. I understand why that's frustrating for the fans, but this is the process. So anything else to add, Gabby, before we get out of here?
Not from me. Not from me right now.
So we'll see. If any news pops. This is what transfer portal closes, I believe, on the 18th, which would be Wednesday. And so we'll see if any new guys jump in for Miami to chase between now and that date. We'll see if Miami can potentially get some new transfer guys in here in the next week or two, with school starting as well. So. Appreciate everyone listening. Thanks again to all our sponsors. Your support means so much to us. And till next time, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.